Radio CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Everybody, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew. We are your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome one and all to episode 21.
Take three.
Yeah.
That's right. We have done this three times.
Don't you love technical issues?
No, we've done it more than that. We've done it this 21st time. So
that's right. So 21 times three.
Yes.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, giving us about an hour of your life this month, and we're going to just jump into a discussion about family-friendly audio drama.
That's right.
Which family-friendly audio drama are we speaking of?
Spit it out, Andrew. Get it right the first time.
I was trying. Which one are we talking about today?
We are talking about Lifehouse Theater on the Air's production called... The Misadventures of Tom Sawyer.
Misadventures.
Yes.
Misadventures.
No adventures.
No.
No, I wasn't asking because I was trying to lead into what we were doing. I was asking because I haven't read the script.
Uh-huh.
Haven't listened to the audio drama either. Just kidding.
Well, we've got some listener feedback and a newscast coming up as well. But first, I wanted to mention that on the blog at audiotheatercentral.com, we've posted our most recent text review of an audio drama. It's called Rescued by John Bevere, and it is an outstanding audio drama that we wanted to share with you. And also wanted to say thanks to Carlton, a listener who sent in an email a while back letting us know about the John Bevere story. So thank you, Carlton.
Yes. Thank you, Carlton. Let me add my voice with JD's in saying that it is outstanding. And I... love this drama. It was great. I had the opportunity to listen to it a few days ago, and it's amazing. Amazing.
Thank you for validating my opinion there, Ron.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's very nice of you. These standing out audio dramas.
Yes.
Problem with standing out audio dramas is that when it rains, they get wet.
But again, you've got to check it out. It is awesome. We'll have a link to that review in the show notes for this episode, which is number 21.
Yes.
The AIO Blogcast interviewed Zach Callison, voice of Matthew Parker, on their most recent episode. It was a great discussion that you will want to hear. As a part of their curriculum, students from 2012 Lamplighter Guild worked with Kathy Buchanan, Todd Busteed, and John Campbell to create a short audio drama. It is a fun 6-minute production that you can download for free from the Guild blog. Links for all these news items will be in the show notes. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy reporting for Audio Theater Central.
A stupendous job there, Roy.
Yes.
Very much better than the last time. Good job.
Made it through without coughing and such. Yes.
Yes, as we are having issues in the studio, I'm the only healthy person in here.
Yes. You know, these health problems could be affecting our computer issues as well.
That's right.
That's what it is. The computers have a cold.
Windows always have colds.
Oh. Yes.
Something like that.
That's very true.
They're always sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's
you know
on.
What they say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Exactly.
That was good, wasn't it?
I guess it depends on your opinion. But
yeah, exactly. That's okay, Jamie. Yeah. We understand. It's okay to be wrong. Sorry, I interrupted you, JD.
Well, I was just going to turn it over to you and say, hey, can you read the summary of this fantastic audio drama by Lifehouse Theater on the Air?
Yes.
Oh.
In your amazing summary voice.
I have a summary voice.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. The Misadventures of Tom Sawyer. All of the charms of childhood are captured in this hilarious classic from the pen of Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. America's yesteryears spring to life as the grand old man himself relates the beloved story of Tom Sawyer's youthful pranks and perils. Tom endures the scolding of loving Aunt Polly, attempts to woo Becky Thatcher, and experiences the folly of foolishness with his unpredictable friend, Huck Finn. Unbelievable escapades, a treacherous trial, a mysterious stranger, and encounters with the notorious Injun Joe all combine for a suspenseful and funny yarn woven by a master spinner of tales.
I couldn't have said it any better.
Oh, man, you're amazing.
Wow, you should have wrote that, JD.
Well, we're not going to just tell you. We're going to let you hear a sample of this fantastic drama. And I wanted to also mention that we are really glad that we discovered Lifehouse Theater on the Air a while back. And they've been great to work with us and send us review copies of these dramas as they are released. And we are really enjoying every one that they put out. Let's listen to a little sample of The Misadventures of Tom Sawyer, just to give you an idea of how good this drama is.
A journey back to America's yesteryears would not be complete without seeing bygone days through the eyes of author Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. Among Twain's greatest gifts to literature is his timeless tale of Tom Sawyer and his many memorable misadventures in Hannibal, Missouri. Tom's escapades illustrate all too well the folly of ignoring biblical insight by being wise in our own eyes. But no need for highfalutin pontification. Will allow the distinguished author to carry on in his own words.
How do? I'm your storyteller, Sam Clements. Many of the escapades I relate to you now are true, drawn from my own experiences and those of my classmates as we grew up along the banks of the mighty Mississippi. Each of our days was filled with adolescent adventure, strange enterprises, young budding romance, and here and there even a scallywag pirate or two. I hope that this tale will pleasantly remind you of your own youthful antics. So let's all join Tom, Huck, Jim, and Becky as Lifehouse on the Air proudly presents The Misadventures of Tom Sawyer.
Tom, that Monk viciously plunges knife in the dark, as the prosecution's eyewitness would have us believe.
No, sir. Old Muffy wouldn't hurt a fly. He was just there to dig, all sorry and drunk, but there was a fight and he got clunked on the head with a shovel. So Muff don't know the truth about what happened. Please, y'all gotta believe me. You just gotta. It weren't Muff at all. It was Injun Joe!
He's turned into the alley. Follow the sheriff, man.
The tail lift. Where's Tom? Where'd he go? Tom! Tom!
I like it.
Yes.
That's right. I like it, too. It's very good.
It's amazing.
Well, we are very kind to allow you to hear these samples.
Well, I already heard it.
Oh, yes, that's true. But our listeners may not have.
Oh, okay. So this one was released in late 2011, and it's about 70 minutes long. And also wanted to mention that one cool thing that Lifehouse Theater does is they provide these curriculum guides for every one of their dramas that they release. And it has like study questions or whatever, discussion questions that you can use with your family after you listen to it together. And it's a really cool tool that you can use it maybe even in a classroom setting. I don't know, but it's a really neat thing that they do, and they offer those for free. So we'll link to that curriculum guide in the show notes as well. So first off, initial impressions of the drama as a whole.
Take it away, Roy.
Oh, sure. Don't need to put on my southern accent to do it.
Sure, why not?
As we talk about it as a whole, well, I thought it was great. Because I've heard the drama, I've heard the story read, the book, I've heard it read. And so I thought it was cool how they took the whole thing and just condensed it into the, 70 minutes like we talked about. And it's just, they took the good scenes and they put it in there. I liked it. The acting was good. Kept me interested in the story.
One thing I noticed is they did not stay 100% true to the actual book, because I've read the book a couple of different times, and just recently listened to the unabridged audio book of this story. So they did do some character consolidation and some plot point consolidations to make it smooth, a little bit smoother.
I noticed that too. But the cool thing was that with that, they would take scenes, bigger scenes from the book, and just put in little tidbits about them, such as the Robin Hood. He mentioned Robin Hood a couple times, where there's an entire scene in the book where he's playing Robin Hood and that kind of thing.
Right.
So there was a lot of that stuff that happened in the book. And like you said, they kind of condensed some of the characters into a few different characters in like one or two.
And in some of the lines, they stayed true to the book too, which is kind of cool. Like in some of the, like some of the lines the actor said are almost this, you know, on a few times I noticed it was like almost the same thing that they say, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, pretty much everybody out there has either read the story of Tom Sawyer in school or, you know, heard some adaptation of it. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to necessarily worry about spoilers because pretty much everybody knows this story in some form or another. And so.
Yeah. Unless you've been living in a cave somewhere. I'm joking.
Yes. Don't insult our listeners, Roy.
Yes. One thing I did really like was the actor who played Injun Joe was really, really good.
Yes. I loved his, as you heard in our little clip there, him performing there. No, I'm going to kill you, little brat.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. It was really good.
His name is Taylor Joseph, but he did a really, really good job on that character. And that was an interesting thing that they did by having the character of Mark Twain actually narrate the story.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was very cool. So that was a good idea.
Mm.
It's pretty neat. Going back to Injun Joe, I think it was a very good job of acting because that's a kind of a difficult part to play a villain, you know, and he's pretty low life scum.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was excellent.
One thing that I thought was a little bit off is I thought the voice of Tom was a little bit older than I would expect the character to be.
I was wondering about this. How old is Tom in these stories? I was trying to remember back. I couldn't remember it because I was trying to do the same thing, match his voice with his age and whatnot. And I was...
No, I'll kind of step out on a limb because maybe JD knows. But I think that the age wasn't ever given.
I don't believe it was.
And I think the purpose of that was that it leaves it open for the imagination, kind of.
Mm.
It can be any age.
Right.
And because some of the things he does are, it's like it spans an age group.
Right.
Kind of. Like he doesn't act just like a 10-year-old.
Right. Like, but he still has like all these treasures and stuff in his pockets.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like he does some things like a really little boy all the way up to like, you know, 12-year-old kid, some of the things that you would do. And I think...
Smoking pipes and whatnot.
Yes. I think Mark Twain did that on purpose, actually. Not that I'm an expert, but...
There are lots of things in here that we do not advocate.
Exactly, right. Very true. We actually have an interview with Mark Twain. No, not really. just kidding. I thought it was very neat, though, the way that they did with the acting and the characters. The dialect was very good. Because in the beginning of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, it's actually Mark Twain writing the foreword to his own book, sort of. And he talks about, he actually breaks down the different dialects that he uses in the book. And he names each one of them because he was so familiar with the place and the setting that he used in his stories. And he was actually one of the first authors in literature to use dialect like that as far as writing goes because he had to over exaggerate with his writing to portray the way that they actually talk.
That's true. Wow. I hadn't thought about that before. Yeah.
So I kind of thought that it seemed a little exaggerated in the story. That's why I brought that up. Because it seems a little bit overboard, but that's kind of the way it was written too, because it had to be in order to portray it in writing.
That's true. And by the way, it was written in 1876. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even I don't remember that far
back. No, that'd be 246 years. That's a long time.
Quick math there, Andrew. You're amazing.
Calculator.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is a very long time ago. It's actually pretty amazing for a book to survive that long.
Yeah. Another character, well, I guess the actor really stood out to me was the one who played Muff Potter. I thought that guy did a really, really good job, too.
He did. He made a very convincing drunk guy. Yeah.
Drunkard.
Yeah, but he also gave the whole impression of, you know, this guy is, you know, he's a drunk and everything, but he really has a good heart if he would, you know, get rid of his...
Just get over his vices.
Yeah, get rid of his drinking and things like that, because the way he treats Tom and the kids and all that stuff.
That was a really neat scene, too, when Tom comes to visit him when he's in the jail.
Yeah. Right, it was.
The music and everything all came together. It was pretty...
Yeah, and that's actually an interesting deal, because in the book, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn visit him in the jail. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just little things like that that they probably couldn't do for purposes of time and stuff like that.
And unless I'm totally off, there was a scene when they're in the cave when he actually runs into Injun Joe. If I remember right, that whole thing was kind of redone.
Yes, it was. Because it was redone.
I thought they were both together in the haunted house, and they saw...
That's true.
Yeah.
They were him and Huck were both in the house whenever they see...
Right, they were looking for buried treasure.
Exactly.
There were some things that they didn't put in there. But that whole sequence of events in the cave was different, because Tom did leave Becky, but I believe he actually, Injun Joe was actually found at the cave mouth, and he had died from starvation, not from falling down a hole.
Yeah, exactly. But,
You know, you can't really portray that in audio. That might take a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of death scenes, when Injun Joe takes his knife and plunges it into Doc's... Yes. Body there, that's pretty powerful.
That was very intense.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It is funny, too, because, even in the original story and the way that this audio drama was done, it goes from, you know, boyhood antics right into something that's really, like, really dramatic.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they even say on their website that they recommend it for teens.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I read Tom Sawyer when I was a little kid, so I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess it might be different actually hearing it portrayed right as to reading it, so.
Exactly.
Any other scenes that in particular stood out to you guys?
I thought that when they were portraying the way that Huckleberry Finn and his superstitions with getting rid of warts and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
That was actually really cool, because they painted it in a very ridiculous light, which it is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
That's a huge part of the book. I mean, it's all throughout. All of the kids have these crazy superstitions.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, obviously I wasn't there in the 1800s, so I don't know how accurate of a portrayal that was of children back then, but... That's pretty crazy. I mean, they're all church-going people, but they have all these crazy superstitions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think it's pretty accurate, because that's the way... That's like with the dialect thing, that was the way he wrote. And that was what he was saying in the beginning was, you know, he's taking these from his own experiences.
Right. Yeah. I'd have to say Sydney's voice drove me crazy.
I think that was the point.
Yep.
Yeah. They really emphasized the annoyance of Sid to Tom, because it's mentioned in kind of passing in the book, but they really emphasized that.
Yeah, it's like, oh my word,
it's gonna drive me nuts too. It's funny, because Tom Sawyer acts out and he's, you know, he disobedient and doing things he's not supposed to, and. But somehow you end up sympathizing with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Sid is sneaky and, you know, he does the bad things, but he's underhanded with it. So you just, nobody likes a character like that.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing that I noticed is that was way different from the book is Tom did not steal the the gold or the yellow ticket from Sid in the book.
No, he didn't.
Mm.
He traded around with all these other kids, and he ended up getting all the tickets he needed to get the Bible.
Right, and they portrayed part of that. Part of that came through, but the part about stealing the ticket wasn't... I don't remember that being in the book.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I mean, it's a great portrayal. They did take some artistic license with it, quite a bit, actually. And to me, it was a little bit annoying just because I had just recently heard or read, you know, read through an audiobook the entire thing from start to finish. And so all of it's kind of fresh in my mind. If it had been, you know, because I haven't read the book in several years, but just hearing it, so I knew the plot points and everything. So it was a little bit annoying to me, but I think it can be overlooked because the acting is really good. The sound effects, really good. And you had something, Roy, that you said you noticed about the music or something.
Oh, yeah, the a few of the music scores in the drama were looped, you know, from the computer. You know, well, they weren't original scores.
Yeah,
that I noticed. But I mean that's fine. Not everybody's gonna notice that, you know.
Right.
Only like people that know that's where those come from, you know. But I mean, it still sounds great. It fits with the drama, and so the whole country, you know, Midwest deal, whatever.
Yeah. And that's cool. It does fit together really well. And, you know, I'm sure that Lifehouse Theater on the Air does not have a budget of a Focus on the Family or a Lamplighter Theater to hire a composer to, you know, compose every single transition and everything. So that's understandable.
Definitely.
As long as it's done in a tasteful way and it's not, you know, just very obviously just the same. Because I have listened to some independent audio drama where we will never discuss them on this show because we recommend stuff that's good.
Oh, man.
But
we didn't mention their name.
Right.
So that's very, very kind.
Intentionally. But, you know, in between every single scene transition, they used the exact same music.
Oh, yeah. That gets annoying after a while, for sure.
And, yeah. So you can use those canned effects tastefully as long as you have a big variety, and I think they do that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
So overall, I would have to say we highly recommend it, just as we have every Lifehouse Theater on the Air production, and especially for those who know the story of Tom Sawyer, just hearing it come to life is really neat.
Yes,
it is. Very much so. And the plot reconstructions, you know, notwithstanding, it was excellent.
I have to throw this in there. One of my favorite lines real quick before we wrap this up was what's his name? Jim, I believe, when they're all sitting out there and he's like, I ain't never been dead before. Oh, it was pretty funny. caught me.
That's funny too, because that's one of the things that they changed. Is that Jim wasn't with them on the island. It was three of them.
Yeah.
But it was the kid he met at whitewashing the fence. Ben. It was the three of them opposed to Sid. And I thought actually that they, without being as blunt, I guess, as the original book, they portrayed the reality of the slavery at that time fairly well.
Yes. I agree with that.
Especially when Tom is talking to Jim at the fence, talking about the whitewashing and stuff. And, like, just the fact that you could say to somebody's face that, you know, everybody knows that if a slave doesn't work hard or whatever, that he's no good or something like that. That concept was so just...
Right.
Hearing that even just made me, like, sick to my stomach. That's just awful.
Yeah.
So it was, as far as that goes, it was very accurate too. That was pretty good. Just like hiding in plain sight.
True, true.
Same type of thing.
Yes. Any other final thoughts, Roy?
Nope. I'm done with them.
I think all of Roy's thoughts are final.
funny.
Just kidding.
So of course we'll have a link to the drama in the show notes if you would like to check it out. We do recommend it, and again, we'll have a link to the curriculum guide that you'll want to check out. If you get this drama, listen to it as a family, and then go over this question and answer kind of thing. It helps bring out some of the issues that are addressed in here that, like we said, the smoking and the slavery and all those different kind of negative aspects of this story kind of helps you go over those with kids, younger kids, and, you know, put them in the proper perspective. Let's jump into some listener feedback.
I'm diving in. I'm going deep.
That was pretty good, Roy.
Well, we got a comment on the blog. Who wants to take that?
Go ahead, Andrew.
This would be the comment from Jack that left a comment on the blog post, the review that JD did of Rescued by John Bevere. And he says, "Hey guys, long time since I came here. I've been very curious about the audio story Rescued. So I bought it, and when it comes in, I will let you guys know how it is." That is definitely great to hear that somebody was turned on to the story and bought it through our recommendation. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Definitely. And where have you been, Jack? I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, come on, Jack. That's jacked up.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. That's awesome. So we have a message from someone as well.
Yes, somebody called into our voicemail feedback hotline.
Oh, great.
And you can do the same. That number is 623-688-2770. We'd love to hear your message. And this is Victoria.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria, and I'm a big fan of Radio CSS. I just listened to Sir Knight and the Splendid Way, and like every other Lamplighter Theater production, it was awesome. But what really stuck out to me was the spiritual messages within the story. There were so many times my eyes teared up, and I said a little prayer. Thank you so much for recommending the story. God bless.
Well, thank you very much, Victoria, for calling in and leaving that message.
Yeah, yes, we appreciate that.
We appreciate it.
And it is nice to know that we weren't the only ones weeping.
Yeah.
During the audio drama of Sir Knight in the Splendid Way. Yes. That was very, very good.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to hear more about that, you can listen to our review of it.
Yes, episode 20.
That's right. We will not distract ourselves by getting back into that.
Exactly. Well, this is a little bit shorter than normal because Roy's sick, I'm sick, and we're not feeling well.
And we have been here for the normal amount of time, actually. This is just our third time trying this.
Yeah.
So we hope you will forgive us.
Yes.
We do have some really cool things coming up that we cannot go into right now.
What?
But
just a sneak peek. Just mention a name, maybe.
Why don't you tell Why don't you tell us at least?
Well, let's see. Well, we're going to be having some guests coming up in the next few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can we mention a company name or anything?
We can mention Radio Theater. Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Oh, big clue, yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm. We could mention Paul McCusker.
Oh.
And we could mention Dave Arnold, too.
My goodness.
We could, I guess.
But we
now,
won't.
We could. We won't, but we could. Now, don't. You know, expect to hear from them anytime soon.
Yes.
That's right. We're just throwing names out there.
Yes.
Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can go to our website, audiotheatercentral.com, leave a comment on the show notes, or you could use the contact form on the website as well. Hey, also, we were thinking about doing an episode on old-time radio because all three of us are big old-time radio fans, right?
Right.
Big.
That's right. I'm as big a fan of old-time radio as I am of just about anything else.
So, we'd like to know what you think. You think that's a good idea or not a good idea? We'd like to know what you think. You can leave a comment on the show notes or send an email to
feedback@audiotheatercentral.com.
That's right.
It's a good place to send it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you want us to get it anyway. You could just type in any random email address, but then you wouldn't want to expect to hear it read on any show.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, you can always call or send a text message to the listener feedback hotline, which is 623-688-2770.
The hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right, yes. Ouch. All lines in Phoenix are hot.
True. At this time of year.
That's right. Yes. They have no choice.
Yeah.
Because it's only 108 today.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
Man, I just love that music.
Yes, very right. Groovy.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at there, Andrew?
This would be rather hilarious. This would be rather hilarious. Apple t-shirts.
Oh.
Actually, here's one that says, God uses a Mac. Oh, that's pretty funny. Oh, let's see. I'll buy almost anything if it's shiny and made by Apple. This is very true. Well, here's one. That's a very nice little pink t-shirt for the infant in your life. It says, iBaby on it.
Infant or...
Yes, no, it says infant. Yes. Well, here's, this is nice. It says, I pray.
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. Yes.
That's good.
Well, I hope you do.
Here's one with a nice Windows symbol, and underneath it says, I don't. I like that one.
I have to admit, that's pretty funny.
Yes. It's-